This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with my good friend, Dr. Robert Horton. Dr. Bob is an agronomist from Iowa State University. He's been here this week sharing with us his story. A lifelong Catholic who was mostly nominally Catholic until a certain point in his life, and the Lord really touched him in the midst of crisis and difficulty to awaken his faith. And we just yesterday ended the program where Bob was talking about learning how the Lord had given him spiritual gifts to be able to reach out to others and to help others and to bring the Lord's love and mercy and his power to those around him. Bob, welcome back.
Thanks, Peter. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And friends, if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, we don't want to go back and retell the story. It's all right there on your computer at our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to it or download it and put it on your iPod. Listen to it when it's convenient. So grace started unfolding in a new way in your life, Bob. You're sharing with us, and
yes,
God began to use you, and you gave him permission to use you in new ways. So why don't you share with us a little bit more about what that meant for you?
Well, I think you're exactly right. So as I was, you know, initially turning to God, it was pretty much alone in my bedroom praying, and then led me toward, you know, more involvement in our parish life and our going to daily Mass and engaging and, you know, going to a little prayer group, so a small group that was really important to me. And through their supports, encouragements, and teachings, you know, led me more and more to be open and trust God. And then I started to see this manifestation of God's grace through praying for other people and outside of the church building. So in my natural life, in my family, in my neighborhood, in my workplace, and particularly in my workplace, and being at a university, we have students and visitors from around the world that come and visit, and many are non-Christian, and many have not heard the gospel before. And also, as a soil and water scientist, that's a topic. Those are natural resources that are necessary for life, and they're important everywhere on earth. And so I, through my academic endeavors and in research and publications, my name was becoming known in the scientific community. So I was receiving invitations to go other places. I received an invitation from the Soviet Union at the time, a scientist there. I had some publications, and he read them, and he wrote me a letter. Now, we didn't have email and that kind of communication at this time. This would be in the late 80s. And he wrote a letter to me and said that he enjoyed the publication, and he had been working on a similar topic, and if possible, if I could visit, we could do some collaborations together. It turned out my university wanted to have exchanges, so they paid for my air ticket, and the Soviet Union paid for my stay there. Mm-hmm. So I traveled to that country, and within 15 minutes of being picked up at the airport, the scientist knew that I was a devout Catholic, and I knew that he was a devout atheist.
How did that happen so fast?
He asked me what I was interested in, what were my hobbies, when we were driving in the taxi from the airport. And I thought, I always went as an ambassador for Christ. I always try to travel, you know, since I made those decisions in my life. And so I thought, well, this is an opening to just mention it. And I said, praying was my hobby because I was spending so much time praying. And he said, wow, so you're a believer? Yes. And then he said that he could respect believers, but he was an atheist himself. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it never got in the way, this difference never got in the way of our science endeavors. And it led to good, solid depth of conversation in our relationship. Anyway, he served me very well as translating. His English was excellent, and he served me because I brought with me, you know, as many Russian New Testaments that I could carry and everything, you know, as gifts. And he served me so well on giving gifts to other scientists. And one evening, he invited me to ballet, Swan Lake. And it was in the St. Petersburg, and their ballet is excellent. And we went, and I remember he invited a woman who was a scientist at his institute. So the three of us went to the ballet, and we were sitting in a section, and there was a intermission. He stood up and left. Everybody stood up and left, but the woman and I stayed there. And I had noticed that she was kind of rubbing her neck and looking like she wasn't feeling that well. So I asked her, "Are you feeling okay?" And she said that she had a migraine headache. And so I thought, okay, here's an opportunity to say something. And I said that I was a Christian and that I prayed for people. She spoke a little bit of English. I didn't speak any Russian, so I wasn't any help. But she didn't quite understand praying. And so I made like the sign of the cross and said, "Talk to God." And she said, "Okay, yeah, I understand." I said, "May I pray for you?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "May I lay my hands on you and pray?" And she said, "Yes." And I prayed for her, and I didn't have that kind of sensation of any electricity or anything, but she said immediately that the headache went away. She said, "What did you do?" I said, "I just prayed. I just said a prayer." And I said, "We should thank God." So she thanked God, and then she confided something in me. She said that she had a research project away from the city in a more outer town, and she said she knew there was a church there, and she'd been wanting to visit that church.
Wow.
So I encouraged her to do that. And then that, you know, the others came back, and that kind of ended our conversation at that particular time.
It's like a divine appointment.
It's like a divine appointment.
Yeah.
It turned out this woman was a collaborator for somebody at Iowa State University, and she came to visit and told me that she had visited the church and that she had become baptized believer in that period of time. So it's just like a moment of grace, but it kind of added on to what God was already doing in her life.
And so, already doing in your life. Friends, we're here with Dr. Bob Horton from Iowa State University, and it's all of a sudden the Lord's got you on this journey where you're discovering that He's called and equipped you in the midst of your normal life and normal responsibilities to be a conduit of His grace, to really be, I think now the words of Pope Francis saying in Evangelii Gaudium, that we are all a mission in this world. You know, we're all called to be missionaries, and the council talking about each baptized Catholic lives in a constant state of mission, a permanent state of mission. And like so many of us, you had no idea this would ever be part of your life. And now it's starting to unfold, and God's using you in different parts of the world to literally bring people to Him and to the faith.
It was astonishing to me. I didn't expect anything like this. And I started to see that not only was God real, but God equips believers. You know, if we're humble, we're open, God will equip us for the mission of evangelization. And I saw that the sense of praying for people and praying, you know, what motivated me first was to help them relieve a pain or help a situation. But I started to see there was a deeper thing in God's plan for sharing the gospel, for allowing them to experience the truth of God so they could make a commitment to God as well. And that just continued on. So I went back to Russia later on another visit, and this woman invited me to her home. Actually, my eldest daughter, Darcy, and I visited together, and she invited us to her home for a meal. And while we were at her home, I met for the first time her husband, and we were talking. It was one of those casual talking meal, not a fast food meal. It was just going to be the evening, you know, to eat some, you know, slowly some dishes and talking. And so her husband asked me, "What kind of books do I like to read?" And I thought, well, I'm going to interject God now. So I said, "I like to read Christian books." And he thought about that for a moment. Then he said, "Do you believe in God?" And I said, "Yes." And he said that it was impossible for him to believe in God because his parents taught him when he was a young boy that there is no God. And he said that in the school system in the Soviet Union, he was taught that it was foolish to believe in God. So he said to me, as an adult, even if he wanted to believe in God, it was impossible. He was not capable because of his background teaching. But he said that he wanted to know why I believed in God and why Jesus and not Buddha or Muhammad. So I said, okay, I can talk about that. Because it was going to be the whole evening that we had. And we just had meals. It was just relaxed and casual. And so I said, well, let me tell you, it's several reasons. And I decided to tell him just our Bible story. I told about the creation, the fall, God's faithfulness and teaching, the prophecies of Jesus, the incarnation, the life, the teachings, the miracles of Jesus, the death of Jesus and his resurrection. And at that moment I said, that's why Jesus, not Buddha or Muhammad, Jesus is the one who said he would die and come alive again, and he did it. And he demonstrated through that miracle, through that event, his uniqueness as the unique Son of God. Then I talked about the descent of the Holy Spirit. The early church mentioned some saints and through history. And then I mentioned my own personal experiences, conversion, and relationship with God. So this took some time. They had a dog, and he had a teenage daughter, and the dog needed to go outside. And so he was reaching in his pocket to get his keys out so his daughter could, you know, unlock the door and lock it and be outside and come back. And he dropped the keys on the floor. And when he bent over to pick up the keys, I noticed that he had like a wincing, like a pain when he did that. And his wife was sitting next to me, and I said to her, is your husband okay? I saw that when he bent, there was like pain on his face. And she said, he has chronic back pain. Hmm. So after his daughter had left, I said to him that I had some experiences of praying for people that were hurting, and God answered those prayers quickly. So I said, may we pray for your back? And he said, yes. So we got together, and we got around him, his wife, my daughter, Darcy, and I, and we prayed for his back. I felt a lot of heat, and his back, he said, the pain left immediately. And he started to thank me. And I said, we should thank God. So he stood up and thanked God for what happened. I gave him a Bible and another book, and then we left. We went back to America, my daughter and I, the next day. And I can tell you some more of the story.
Very good. Yeah, well, maybe we can pick it up tomorrow. We have just a few seconds. I know there's a whole lot more to that story, and I think the heart of the story that you're communicating with us is how you continue to follow the journey the Lord puts you on right in the situations of your life, of your professional career and other places where you encounter people who are hurting, even yes. people who didn't even know God, and said the love of God was present, that and that God knew them and that you could pray with them. And they said yes. And then the Lord confirmed the word that you preached through the sign and the wonder that he worked to bring about healing in people's lives. And Dr. Bob Friends has a lot more stories like that. He's going to share with us tomorrow as well. So Dr. Bob, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.